$200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series. Yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at Churchill, about 10 minutes into hour three, and Andy's going to join us next. And I did look at form, and Marty's tabs are up, and just kind of going through and seeing if there was anything that immediately caught my eye, and. Yeah, we're already in a little bit of agreement on quite a few, I can see. I'm just looking for a price, because chances are when he says some horses jumped out at him, they very well may be a few numbers. Prevalence. I mean, I'm certainly going to use prevalence, even with Jackie's Warrior seemingly having a pace advantage. He and Reinvestment Risk. As we wait for Andy, is Andy with us? No, not yet. Okay, Casey just said 1 second on Andy. For those that haven't had a chance to look beyond Derby and Oaks, and of course backing up from Derby, the Turf Classic, and there you've got the likes of Ivar, who drew the rail for Paulo Lobo, Public Sector for Chad, as well as Tribuven. He's also got Hadomo, the Irish bred. Santin comes back again in here, the cause, another cause celeb type horse, 6-1 for Brendan Walsh. Churl Spite off the win at Keeneland. Dallas with Cavalry Charge out of the win at Fairgrounds, etc. Nice group of 10 in there. The Churchill Downs has already been touched on quite a bit this morning with Jackie's Warrior from the three-hole, Reinvestment Risk, Prevalence, Mind Control shows up from Todd and the race in New York. Cezanne that Pletcher has got hands on too. And, of course, Aloha West, your Breeders' Cup sprint winner, and draws the rail for his seasonal debut at 5. The American Turf, the three-year-old turf race, I sort of I sort of glossed over it a little bit. Portfolio Company makes his three-year-old debut in here for Chad. And Phil D'Amato's got an interesting first-time North America. Boundikoff is his name. But certainly Portfolio Company, good to get him back. Graham Motion's got Side Dog in there. Just some of the stakes leading up to the Derby, the Distaff, the Fillies and Mares, where you got the usual suspects like Bell's the One and Lady Rocket, etc. That Just One Time for Cox, who's burst on the scene. And Andy Serling bursts on the scene. Good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Terrific. We've had, as you could expect, Andy, you know, you get those PPs out for Oaks and Derby Day, and you know, there's so much to absorb and you know, so many stories, even beyond the two features.
Well, I haven't looked, but I'll take your word for it.
Well, and I just was kind of touching and giving people a glance if they haven't looked yet, but, you know, the Pat Day Mile is going to end up being a fabulous story, and Jack Christopher makes his long-awaited return.
Yeah, well, I'm just betting him a 2-1. I saw he's a 2-1 morning line, so I figure I don't really need to handicap the race. I just take 2-1 on a 4-5 shot, so I can't wait for that. He really looks 2-1, doesn't he?
He looks
awfully
good.
And then make a parlay. It's 2-1, and Jackie's Warrior at 5-2. And he's going to crush. I won't even need to bet the Derby. I've won so much on this two horses. 2-1 and 5-2.
We have had a disproportionate amount of morning line commentary this morning.
Well, that's because they have a horrendous morning line there. And I think on an event as important as the Derby, they should get somebody who can make a morning line competently.
We
can joke about it endlessly, and I'm happy to, but I also think it's important. I think it's important to take yourself seriously. And you know, this is like the biggest weekend of racing in certainly America. I'm not going to say the world, but there's great, you know, important racing in other countries where this, you know, where the Derby has no real relevance to them necessarily. But in America, and to have somebody who makes such a, you know, annually inaccurate line, unfortunate. I guess 10-1 shots can be 50-1 in grade ones at Keeneland, but 50-1 can't be 50-1 in the Derby. Okay, got it.
Yep. Fair point. Let me get one thing out of the way first, because I know people so look forward to them, no matter what their length is. When are your Oaks and Derby videos going to tape and post?
I'm taping a 17 second Oaks video and a 29 second Derby video. I'm going to very quickly say who I like, and we'll flash some things. I'll be taping them on Thursday morning. Hopefully, ending Thursday around 10:30 or 10:45. So hopefully, we'll get them out by early afternoon on Thursday. Both the Derby and Oaks previews.
Well, for the sake of brevity, you could just give the numbers of the horses you like.
Is always good. I really think that, you know, too much time is wasted. Some people don't waste the time. Some people just only do give the numbers. But I think, you know, the names are so superfluous. You just give the number, you know. I mean, really, isn't that all people want anyway?
We've had some fun thoughts already, specifically about pace in here, Andy. What, looking at the way it was drawn and what the anticipation was, what's your read on how fast this race goes early?
The Derby?
Yeah.
I don't have a great one. I mean, you know, I think, you know, one of the things I think that people have, you know, using the time for pace projector, you know, makes it clear that Summer Is Tomorrow is a horse who's supposed to be forward in the year. You know, sometimes these horses don't show up the way they're supposed to. If he shows up and shows the speed you expect him to show, it kind of guarantees they'll be moving at least a relatively strong pace. The other question is, you know, what are they going to do with the no-hoper on the outside, Classic Causeway? You know, do they just put him in there and not even ride him aggressively and therefore, you know, finish the same 16th he was going to finish anyway, but not necessarily work him as hard in the front end? I don't know. You know, any chance he has to be in front. We'll see. I mean, you would think they're going to be aggressive with him, but, you know, the big other things, you know, I've been surprised by more. The question is, you know, who are the sort of tertiary types? I can't really see Epicenter not being forward in here. That's what he does. And Joelle is no fool. And Joel's got to go with him. It's not he's going to be in front, but I can't see him sitting worse than fifth and maybe, you know, maybe in front, maybe third, you know. The same can be said for Messier. I mean, you'd have to think he's going to leave. I mean, you know, I know that it's Tim Yakin and not Bob Baffert, but they're, I'm sure, sharing a similar philosophy that, you know, being forward is good. And once again, he doesn't need to leave, but he's a forward-type horse. And I think considering that both Messier and Epicenter are two of, you know, whatever more likely winners means, you know, I don't think you're going to see those horses taken out of their running styles. They don't have trainers or riders that are inclined to do just that. So I think you'll see them be more forward. You know, Zandon isn't incredibly slow, and I don't think that Chad Brown wants to be way, way back in this race. On the other hand, he's not, you know, a forward-type horse. But I do think you have to consider the idea that he's got to find a reasonable position. And, you know, he can't expect to get shuffled in this Derby the way he did in the Bluegrass and still win. So maybe in some ways he's the more tricky of those horses. But I'm sure, you know, between the horse, Chad Brown and Flavien Prat, they'll figure out the right way to ride him. At the end of the day, obviously the pace is always the biggest concern. But I think, oddly enough, trips are kind of overrated in the Derby. To a certain extent, the trip, there's two types of trips. There's difficult trips because you get in trouble, and there are difficult trips because of race dynamics. Race dynamics is the trip you worry about. Trouble, somewhat random, not that worried about it. Believe it. I mean, you can always get unlucky in any race. Having said that, watching a lot of Derbies, horses may win or lose because of the way the race sets up. They don't usually win or lose because they got in significant trouble. Not, you know, it takes sort of the best horse or two to get in real trouble. And usually, you know, these riders are so good that, in general, it doesn't really happen. They've got to get massively unlucky.
When there is that kind of an issue, it's, you know, a horse kind of backing up and, you know, somebody having to basically check along until they get a chance to get around. You know, some occasions.
I don't worry about that, you know, kind of stuff.
You can't.
It's like sitting around and fretting about whether or not the track is going to be wet.
Exactly.
First of all, you don't know. And second of all, yeah, it is possible that a wet track will affect the performances of horses in the race. Who those horses are, complete and total crapshoot. So why think about it?
Yep, I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all.
Do your best to handicap who you would like to bet in this race and hope the chips fall in your favor. You know, I mean, I know that sounds like an oversimplification, but I think actually do an handicapping. You know, use your handicapping acumen to try to envision the race and envision the horses that you think are the most interesting to bet on for whatever reasons. But to sit around and say, well, the track's going to come up wet, nonsense, because some horse might like a wet track at this track and not like it another, and vice versa. And in general, horses run their race on wet track. I mean, there have been Derbies. I think, you know, the Smarty Jones Derby was dramatically affected by the rain. Not saying that the best horse, and maybe even second best horse, didn't run second, though there's an argument that Birdstone, at the end of the day, was as good as anyone in that race. But that also was a dramatically heavy storm right before the race, right?
Right.
So that was a really unusual circumstance.
And that, you know, those things, the way if the track is drying out, I mean, those kinds of things just don't, you know, you're not going to be able to make an adjustment on your day, you know, at that approach. There's only certain things you can base your judgment on. And frankly,
rain.
Andy, right, it's not any different than any other day.
No, of course not. I don't, you know, this notion that you should handicap differently. No, you, first of all, at some level, I think that people that play the horses enjoy, I mean, for me at least, and I think a lot of people enjoy the handicapping process.
Yeah.
So why should your handicapping process be different than the Derbies? There's more horses. But, you know, if you have things that work for you or you're comfortable with, use them in the Derby the same way you use them. But I think in general, this concept of thinking about wet tracks, I mean, you do want to, you know, on a normal day, you want to look through and make sure that you're, you're not taking any horses that have proven to be terrible at tracks. Those horses generally get scratched anyway, to be honest. So I just don't worry that much about it.
Do you have, obviously you'll do the full treatment on Thursday, but you got anything to reveal here?
No. I wouldn't want to kill, I wouldn't want to think, boy, I could have had more views of my video if I haven't had to give out my opinion. I have some random thoughts. I tweeted some stuff. I don't, looking through the Derby, I don't have any argument that Epicenter and Xander are the two horses to beat. But whether or not that merits them being in the 3-1 range is a completely different question. I think it's important to ask yourself that. And for me, I've already got 22-1 on Zandon in one of the pools, so I'm sort of covered with him. And
nice.
I would never bet him in this race at 3-1. Make no mistake, I'm rooting for him to win. Chad Brown is my friend, and winning the Derby is a big deal. But that's not going to affect who I bet in the race. On this day, there's no horse that I'd be happier to see win than Zandon, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to bet on him.
No, and you're already, as you say,
I already got my wins, but also I don't think he's a good gamble in the 3-1 range.
Exactly.
I don't think he's a terrible gamble, but I don't think he's a great. I think there are better gambles near better prices. The question is who they are. I think of the sort of outlier horses, the horse that interests me the most is Simplication. I'm not going to take him to win, but I'm not
going to
be surprised when he outruns his odds. I think he's the horse you want from the Florida Derby, and I think he's shown enough that he's a sort of multifaceted horse that can be forward, can be close, can overcome some adversity. I think there's things to like about him.
I'm 100%. I'm thrilled to hear you say
that. He may end up running really well and being sixth best, which I think is a real possibility. But I think that he's, there are worse long shots than him. I'll put it that way.
No, Andy, I'm thrilled to hear you say that. Because to me, he offers a lot of the same, tactical appeal that Epicenter has at whatever, six times the price.
Right. He doesn't have the sort of breakout performances that Epicenter does. But no, I'm right. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't bet him at 12-1.
No.
But I could 25, 28.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, I'm not in love with him. I think it's very hard to see this Kentucky Derby and say, I'm going to be honest with you, the last horse I bet on the Derby that I really liked was Gopher Gin. Maybe before that, Silver Charm. That was also a smaller field. Because Gopher Gin was an unusual horse that had been unlucky against biases on numerous occasions. Now, he got lucky when that Derby, Holy Bull didn't come out of the gate, and McCarron was wise enough to send him to front, so things really worked out for him. But he was a horse that was good enough to win the race, and he had been unlucky in prior races, and it happened to work out that day.
I like that. Who's being overvalued to your estimation?
Well, I mean, it's hard to really know at this point who's going to get, bet. I think that there will be. I hear some chatter that Japanese horses have been doing really well, therefore Crown Pry is a bettable horse in here.
I said the same thing this week.
Yep. I mean, obviously, we did Siege Horse and Japanese, but let's take a look at the Japanese horse in the Breeders' Cup. One of them was close to the favorite and a very logical horse. The other one was completely illogical, but also ran in a extremely random race. And not saying the horse didn't run and legitimately win the race. He was the first mover in there. But, that was one of those things. This horse can't win this race based on the races he's run. So betting him simply because Japanese horses have been doing well in big races over the last year is an idiotic handicapping notion. So he's going to win at my expense. And as I tweeted yesterday, when a horse from Dubai runs first or second in the Derby or Oaks, I won't be cashing. So when that happens in 2049, know that I got crushed. I don't know what horses. I mean, I don't really think anybody's stupid enough to bet Tis the Bomb. I don't think there's a lot of positive sentiment out there about Taba. I also think Tabe is very probably the most talented horse in this race. I also think he's an extraordinarily unlikely winner of this race. You know, I think it's unfortunate. You know, it's one of these things where, listen, the owner forced them to run in the Santa Anita Derby, and he was, quote, right, unquote. And the rest of us were absolutely wrong in betting against him. That's not even a quote. We were wrong. And I'm not the only one. And you have to admit it, you know. I would never have bet him in that race. I thought he was a horrible bet, and I was completely wrong. Having said that, is his victory in that race ultimately going to prove to be beneficial to him going forward?
Right.
Now that the owner's been right about that race, he has every right to say, now we're going to the Derby. And, I mean, you're supposed to go to the Derby out of that race. The problem is, you probably shouldn't have run in there to begin with. So with winning that race going to necessarily be beneficial to him in the long run. That's a completely different conversation. Now, listen, maybe I'll be totally wrong, and afterwards I'll say, well, we knew Tybo was the best horse in the race. But I don't know what sane person would bet him in here. I hope I'm wrong. Yeah. I hope he wins and I'm proven wrong, because he may be really, really, really good. But this is not a route that figures to be beneficial to this horse in the long run. Derby's a race that has chewed up and spit out a lot of good horses over the years. And I would hate to think that he becomes another of them, because this horse is extraordinarily good.
That's the way it looks. I mean, we had the conversation with Gary Young yesterday. Gary says, I mean, everything he's done is surprising him. I mean, and Gary admitted freely that he was trepidatious about running in the Santa Anita Derby. But you know, how do you
is
not go forward?
A word? Trepidatious a word, or is that a Steve Bickism?
I don't know. Is it? No,
I don't
misspelled,
know. Well,
I misspelled anyone. Sprightly today. I had, instead of spell check, I had misspell check this morning. Talk about the other West Coast, though, Messier, and it feels like he's been sort of, you know, paved over, and I think you're going to get some post-type value on him.
He certainly feels like he can win.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I hate all horses from the West Coast, because according to people on the West Coast, I have this enormous East Coast bias, even though I've picked plenty of horses on the West Coast in my life. You know, but I do always look forward to the West Coast paranoia. There's no East Coast bias. There's a West Coast paranoia. That's my favorite sentiment, the West Coast paranoia.
You're hitting all the highlights tonight.
Well, I mean, I'm wrong? Jeez,
No.
Never seen anything like it. I'm changed. What racing fan doesn't like racing out west? What racing fan doesn't like Santa Anita, for God's sakes? What's the greatest place? Like, there's no greater racetrack. Anyway,
well,
I don't really know who are the horses. I mean, I don't think Cyberknife is the most ridiculous horse in the race, but I'll be surprised if he wins, or I'll be surprised if he's in the exacta. I don't like the horses from Arkansas in general. He's obviously the best one of them. I think Barber Road is preposterous. You know, there's horses I don't really like. I can we really expect Zozos to take another step forward? But these are all big priced horses, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Mo Donegal, I guess. We haven't touched on him.
I was going to say, talk about the Pletcher. You know, you haven't touched on Todd's horses at all.
Well, Mo Donegal, there's a problem with Mo Donegal. Can Irad really give him as unbelievably great a trip as Joel gave him last time?
Hmm.
And I'll tell you something else. There's an argument that being inside was an advantage on Wood Day, and he basically didn't leave the rail until the very late stages of that race. So, but once again, I'm not going to be shocked if he wins, and there's part of me that would love to see a horse win from post one.
And Derby. And Wood. And a Wood winner.
And a Wood winner, and obviously, you know, the Remsen with Mo Donegal and Zandon. So, yeah, from a Hover perspective, and I like the Donegal guys a lot, so I always like to see them do well. So I'm good with him winning. I'm not going to bet on him, but I'm good with him winning. I don't think Smile Happy is ridiculous in here. I mean, it's a little hard to like him because Zandon just, you know, disposed of him like a gnat last time. But he's not a bad horse by any stretch. I think one concern with him is, I mean, I don't want to get overly caught up in the distance, but he doesn't feel like a horse that's getting better with more distance. You know, you wonder if he would be a really good miler.
I wondered that too, Andy.
Gabby Gaudette just jumped aboard here. Man.
Gabby. What's going on?
Can we both hang up on Steve and just I'll call you and we can have a natural conversation about Steve here? Are you even allowed on the grounds at Churchill?
Apparently I am. Yeah. I mean, fortunately this back. Year. Are you allowed on the grounds?
I am. We're very friendly with Churchill.
He was here last year.
So far. I know.
I was here last year. I hung out with Andy last year. We were hanging out. And
contrary to popular belief, we don't hate each other.
Yeah, we don't hate each other. We were hanging out last year, and he was very kind, and he offered me a cocktail, and I had a decline, because nobody knew I was actually pregnant at the time.
Who knew?
You know, I actually have a potential seat offer for you at this year's Derby. I'm not sure I'm going to present it to you, and I'm definitely not doing it on Steve's show, but, you know, it comes to mind that I may know an opening for you. Are you going this year?
Am I going to Oaks?
The Derby?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Or Oaks.
Both days.
Do you want to tell us about Norm's first-time starter on Thursday? That's what people really want to know.
You know what's funny, Andy? A lot of people come up to me and ask me for inside information, and my answer to everyone is, I haven't really seen my husband in the last month, and when we do see each other, we're not really talking about horses.
So
talking about raising an infant.
So well.
Exactly. Exactly.
I was just very happy that he had a horse for Jack Oxlow. That was nice.
Yeah, and he has another one, Catch Magic, but she's in on the AE this weekend. I don't know if she's going to be able to enter into the race, but... Steve pulled up a couple of the entries. I'll tell you that he does really like On the Ones and Twos. She's been working really, really well.
He's talked about that horse for ages.
Yeah. And she was
okay last year, right? Maybe she went
she was okay last year.
Yes.
She,
something went awry with her.
She was just really big for a 2-year-old. If you saw her physically, Steve, she was massive and she just had a little, you know, aches and pains and probably needed some time to mature and grow into herself. So she's back a better horse this year, hopefully, and we'll see what she can do. But,
he's
got a lot of horses.
Pretty Birdie's exciting. I mean,
Pretty Birdie
know,
is very exciting.
She got 7 furlongs, but my gosh, her race at Oaklawn was huge.
It is. That race was really impressive. I think the only other horse in there, I think Brad's filly ran a faster race at Keeneland, and then Chad has one in there, I think. But
Jerry Mandrew's coming back. I think she's been training well.
Yeah, Pretty Birdie. She's crazy fast. She's crazy, crazy fast. She's got so much speed. So the question is, can she stretch out to 7 furlongs? But it's a good time to try.
Which stake is AC running in? AC Expressway. In the Knicks go or in the St. Matthews?
I believe the Knicks go.
Okay, he re-entered. All right.
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you.
So why are you wandering around Churchill Downs that you would end up with Steve?
I've got work to do. Yeah,
really?
I've got... The first hit is at 12:20. What time is it? Yeah. I have an hour. I've got plenty of time.
I'll be at lunch.
I'll be lunch, Andy.
What's that?
Where are you going to have lunch?
I don't know if I want to say on Steve's show. The place may get besieged by fans, and one of the actual celebrities there might get annoyed.
Okay.
Cafe Luxembourg.
Yeah, I was thinking that's your go-to.
Thanks, Steve.
We talk about it all the time. Don't be ridiculous. Where's the baby? I was promised the baby viewing.
He's at home. He has someone watching him
show.
Right now. Yeah, he's listening to the show.
He's
just hanging out.
He's soundly sleeping like so many of your other listeners.
We tried to go out yesterday morning to watch workers, but I just didn't have the energy for that. I didn't. He's been to Churchill, though. He's been to Churchill, Keeneland, Oaklawn. You know, he's really made the rounds so far.
Is he recovered yet
from 3 months in Arkansas?
He's well rested. He's well rested after Arkansas.
It's been a long meet, huh?
It was. Just because of the weather, too. Oh, the awful. Weather was horrible. Awful. Like, some days it would be sleeting and snowing. And
it was terrible.
2 days later, it'd be 80 degrees. Yeah, it was tough. But we're here, back home. Feels really good to be back home.
Are you coming to visit us in Saratoga all this summer?
That was my next question.
I don't know. I might. It depends on what happens this summer, but I don't know. I'd love to. I'm just trying to think of, like, next week, Andy, let alone the summertime.
How much do you miss, Andy?
What do you do? I miss guys.
Honestly, I miss him greatly. And I actually did tell Andy, we were talking the other day, and when we were on Talking Horses, obviously it seemed like we hated each other and feuding every single day. But I will say that I learned some of the best information and truly how to analyze races from Andy. And I told him that the other day. And without that experience, I definitely wouldn't know as much as I know today. I mean, people think, okay, yeah, you grew up in a horse racing family. Your dad was a trainer. I know stuff that goes on the backstretch. I know how to, you know, what goes into training a horse and the horsemanship side of things. I never knew how to analyze races, and he taught me that.
And you've taught Scott.
I don't know about that.
He's still a work
Can I tell
progress.
Him that, though?
I'm trying to pronounce people's names correctly. Once I figured out, gotten that down, then we'll work on the handicapping part. He's really got it together. Scott's a work in progress. He's just more refined than we are. But everything else, he needs a lot of help.
Oh my gosh, Scott.
So great.
I really only get to watch you and Scott with the sound off, because you guys are usually on while we're on. So I have you on with the sound off in the studio. But that's kind
true,
of enjoyable,
right?
As well.
Thanks, Andy.
No,
it's fun.
I will say,
The today at Keeneland, the Keeneland morning show is a lot of fun, and I will say it's a short show, but the producers and the TV department at Keeneland have gotten really creative with it. It's not your typical morning show, and I really do look forward to it every year. It's a lot of fun, and you know, we get to harass each other too.
Well, you are the Katie Couric of handicapping pundits.
You know, I actually met Katie Couric a couple years ago right here at Derby.
Really?
It's my only celebrity sighting.
At the Derby?
There was...
Yeah?
That's
yeah,
it.
She came. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A couple years ago.
Really?
I'll never forget. I was in the paddock with Gary Barber, and she was with Gary Barber. And she was like, Gabby, this is Katie Couric. Katie Couric, this is Gabby Gaudette. And she was talking about the podcast that she had just started, which I listened to. And Gary says, oh, Katie, you know, Gabby has a podcast, too. You should really listen to it. And I said, Gary, I don't have a podcast. But thank you. Thank you so much. I don't have a podcast. And
that's
I'm sure Gary
can
listen to my podcast.
That's great.
It was a great memory. Too funny.
Fairly
well,
good.
You're
since you're
you
here.
Don't have a podcast.
Well, almost everybody does. While I've got you, and I don't know if I'm going to see you the rest of the week, you got a Derby Oaks tab while you're here?
I'm still doing my handicapping. Have you asked Andy yet?
Andy has given his Derby. He hasn't given his
I
Oaks.
Declined.
Okay.
I declined. I'm not giving my stuff up on his show. You know?
Derby.
I got videos to do, Gabby. I don't want to distract people.
I'm curious.
I lose views by helping Dick out.
I'm actually really curious who Andy picked for Derby, but I'll tell you, I'm between, I can't go back to Todd with Charge It. I'm telling you, like, I've picked Todd at probably every single Derby. I fell into the,
I did that with Dale Roman several years in a row,
into quicksand with How Known Agenda.
Well, a lot of thirds.
I do think Charge It has a lot of upside. I think he's very light on seasoning, and he's a typical Tappet that just hasn't figured things out yet.
Save it for the Belmont.
Yeah. I kind of like Messier. I really do like Messier. But I haven't like really sat down and come to a conclusion yet.
Will there be a TVG?
I want to make a bet that that no Tappet ever wins the Belmont Stakes again.
Interesting.
Really? Okay. I'll take you up on that.
I wonder what are the actual odds of that. You know, because the average person would say, well, that's, like, impossible. But it's not really, because even if it's, you know, 25% every year, what are the odds? You know, I guess, I mean, the question is, how many more crops will Tappet have?
Exactly.
Right? What did he win the Wood Memorial? What year was that? 03?
Something like that,
yeah. He's getting pretty old, right? I mean,
yeah, he's got to be 17, 16.
How much more crops is Tappet going to have, right?
Three or four, and plus there's three on the ground, so six, seven.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying I think it's a likely occurrence, but you know, you've had so many winners that everybody just the sort of knee-jerk reaction is what you said, Steve, right? Oh, he'll win the Belmont. Well, that's, you know, he's had an unbelievable run. I think people, and I'm not saying you guys, I think people may take it for granted that Tappet's do great in the Belmont, you know what I mean? And it may have just been the right horse at the right time. I mean, Tappet beat one of the worst fields in racing, or in Triple Crown race, right? Never went on to do anything. So, you know, how many of those horses really were the right horse? I mean, was Creator a Tappet?
Yes, he was. And Charge It happens to look like Creator.
Just unbelievably lucky to win, and, you know, never ran a particularly competitive race again. Who were the Tappets that won, that went on? Tonalus a Tappet?
Yes, I believe that's...
So, you know, sort of who are the Tappets that won the Belmont that turned out to be, you know, good horses going forward?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tonalus obviously was.
Well, part of it is they're slower maturing, both mentally, particularly mentally.
Yep.
And so the extra, you know, the extra time involved in getting to, you know, late May, early June, almost halfway through the year, contributes to that. The other thing, Andy, that makes your bet interesting, I'll tell you what makes your bet intriguing, is the mares that Tappet was getting through a certain portion of his stud career versus then, you know, as his star grew, that changes a little bit. The complexion of the mares that go to him changes. And so he might not be getting the same horses in this, you know, later stage of his career as he did through the middle portion of it and the early portion of it.
Has he won with a horse? Okay, he's won with three. I mean, Tonalus, Creator, and Tappet. They're the three, right?
That sounds
right. I don't think there's any more. Okay. Tonalus turned out to be a good horse. The other two didn't. So maybe there's some randomness to it, too, right?
Could be.
You know, I'm not trying to... But other than Tonalus, they just were sort of fortunate horses in the right race, the right time. Creator's field wasn't terrible. Yeah, in the Belmont.
Yeah, because, like, he was a Tappet, and he was...
Was he second? To American Pharoah? I think he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was a good horse. But I don't know. I just wonder a little bit if there's a certain amount of randomness to it. I don't think it's completely random by any stretch, but I think there's a certain amount of randomness to it. I mean, do we think that Chargett's really going to be a Belmont horse? Why? Because in a month, all of a sudden, he's going to stop misbehaving his races?
Well, part of that gets back to the Tappet mentality, the sort of flightiness they need. They're mm-hmm. they're a little goofy. I mean, and part
Which
of it is
three that one were goofy.
Well, we'd have to go back and have that discussion. I mean, but it with each individual. You know, wait a minute. Essential Quality didn't Essential Quality win?
Yes,
last year.
She had Tappet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's four. He was a good horse. Was he a Belmont horse? No, he was a good horse. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just sort of musing on it because I think a lot of people are going to say, oh, I want to bet the Tappets and the Belmont. So isn't every Tappet going to be an underlay? I'm just being annoying. It's what I do best.
What else is new?
Right. But I'm going to, you know, Gabby, I was thinking today, I'm going to start a poll every week before I go on Big Show, but I got to do it like 2 hours before. The level of annoying I should be each week on Steve's show. I'll let people vote on it.
They do enjoy it. While we've got the two, here's what I will let you do. You guys can talking horse the Oaks. Why don't you two do the Oaks?
Because
you've got
say,
an opinion.
Really quickly, I haven't like solidified my picks by any means, but I'm a little against Kathleen O.
Me too.
If you look back at the Gulfstream Park Oaks and the Devona Dale, and you look at what she beat, those horses, they were slow. They were slow. And I just don't think it's the strongest prep race going in. And I don't know. I think...
No, I'm with you, Gabby, for the exact same reasons. You know, Nick Echoes, also...
And here, let's talk about the two... Sorry to interrupt you, Annie, but no. The two... I'm making up for lost time. But the two... the two
you got a lot of make
favorites.
It up. He doesn't have enough time with the show.
Kathleen O... That's why I'm a little against her, and I'm a little against Echo Zulu, too, because I think if Steve really wanted everything to go his way with Echo Zulu, she would have had a prep before the Fairgrounds Oaks.
I think she forced their hand.
I tend to agree a little with that. The one thing I'll say about Echo Zulu, like, I'm willing to stand firmly against Kathleen O. For that reason and other reasons. I'm going to bet against Echo Zulu, but I'm not going to be shocked when I'm wrong. Because, you know, one thing about Asherson, he's not going to have for Ray to run her best race. And this is not his, you know, forte. I also agree that he probably is struggling with the question of, is he more of a one-turn, you know, an acorn-type test horse than necessarily a distance horse. And I'm willing to gamble that she's not. But I'm not going to be surprised when I'm wrong, because, let's be honest, she's pretty good, you know? So I don't mind betting against her. I'm going to be surprised when I'm wrong about Kathleen O. And I thought Nick made a good point to me, Tamara, earlier, when he said he wonders if she's going to be better going shorter, Kathleen O, even though she won that Oaks against that just horrific field.
Well, so, okay, in my opinion, when you're looking at the race, right, I can poke holes in Echo Zulu. I think she is a very good horse, but she was all out to win the Fairgrounds Oaks. And every single horse coming into the race has at least... two prep races. She only has one, and it seemed like it took a lot for her to get there and win that race. Kathleen O, I mentioned Gulfstream Park Oaks, Devona Dale. The fields that she faced were, a couple of horses had won. I think one horse in particular won a maiden claiming race in there.
I like the PP's, the third horse. Ran once on synthetic and once on turf. Those are my favorite PP's, any horse in a prep race.
And with Secret Oath, I will say, she had a horrible... When you're, again, going back to Andy, when, you know, we talk about analyzing races and you break it down, she really ticked all the boxes of what a horrible trip is. She didn't get out of the gate. She was wide. She made an early move on the backside. She made a sustained run down the stretch. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong with that trip. However... to me, I think she's lost a little bit of weight since her last race, and I wonder if it took a lot out of her. It can, going against the boys with that type of race.
I wish I could lose a little weight since she last ran.
When was the last time you ran, Andy, is the question.
Well, I tried to run once to a cab, and I ended up laying in bed with a sprained ankle for three weeks, so I'm giving up that running crap forever, you know. I've been known occasionally to get on the bike, but after that, it's pretty much...
So my assessment, because I got to go. But either Nest is going to win or something crazy is going to happen.
Let me ask That's one quick question before you go. Nest is the morning line favorite. Is she really going to be favored?
I didn't think so.
I thought Kathleen Lowe
like
would be because
she's the favorite.
Okay, Scott. I mentioned this to Scott too, and he thought I was absolutely bonkers, but. Horses, either in the Oaks or the Derby with names, too, are going to be underlays. I'm just telling you. Like, My Boy Jack, was a huge underlay.
Yeah, he ran fourth.
Wasn't he like a crazy short prep? No, Kathleen.
That's interesting. Oh.
And she's undefeated.
He's the expert on how names get bet. You know that.
Well, he thought I was absolutely insane. By saying that, but I proved my point.
He's right. Look at especially first
that I'm
flashes
insane?
On any. Well, no, on any given, yes, that's partly true. But is that you look at the early flashes? Every horse that has a common name on any given day, especially in major tracks, will always be underlay. Mike horses are always underlay. I've actually finally convinced Greg Wolf that this is true.
Uncle Joe, I remember you and
they're only short price to begin. So Scott's not wrong, especially in a race like the Oaks, where you do have a reasonable amount of.
I said that. He said he was a contrarian. He said that I was wrong.
Well, I should have known it was smart. I should have known it wasn't Scott. It had to be you.
Two things. If a horse has a first name in it, and if it has one eye, you know it's going to be an underling.
And if there's a combination of the two, forget it.
Yes, going to be the first time favorite.
The one-eyed horse is out. In that land of the blind, the one-eyed horse was not here.
Exactly.
So that's, I guess, the long and short of it. Either Ness is going to win, or it's going to be a crazy long shot. That's my
opinion. Gabby, can you come on with me every week on Steve's show?
I know you miss me, Andy.
Maybe once every month or something.
I know. This was nice.
I'm glad you pulled me aside. Usually, if I do this to him, if somebody random comes along that he actually does know, he will. Sometimes he'll hang up. I knew this was a score. I knew this would work.
I haven't hung up yet.
I actually like Gabby. I don't really like any other people he ever tries to put on.
That's the only compliment I need today.
Right?
Have a good day. Bye, Andy.
What is
Bye,
your guys. Coverage? Where can people find you? And to give the quick sum.
I don't know. Are you allowed to have like an overage of TVG and Naira on your show together?
Yeah, I know. It's all right. It's TVG, TVG2. We're going to be analyzing up until Friday, until I guess NBC comes on and Saturday. So we'll be here all week.
And then people can find you again on Sunday.
Yeah. In bed. I'll be sleeping.
Gabby, Gaudette, everybody, a complete treat. And Andy, that was fabulous. Thank you for doing that. I knew you'd enjoy it.
Okay, I can leave too?
No, you can't, because now you might as well. There's 3 minutes to wrap up the show. You've done a tremendous service on Derby Oaks. How about opening salvos of the Belmont season?
Oh.
Good few days.
I made some money, so that was good. So I was happy with that. It got nice on Saturday, and that was nice. We saw some good races. I don't even remember who were the stakes. Oh, well, we saw that crazy win by Scuttlebuzz.
Yep.
He really did run big. He ran a huge figure. I have to imagine he's going to the Jiper. He's a cool horse, you know, and he was claimed for $30,000. And he's one thing about him, I didn't like it all in that race, but he is a horse that no matter the circumstances, he always shows up. He's just that rare turf sprinter, and this is what we've talked about in his races in the past, that shows he's a closer in general, that shows up even when the paces aren't fast. You know, he's just really an unusual, talented turf sprinter. And now I'm giving reasons why I could have used him this weekend, and I thought he was ridiculous in the race, and I obviously got that wrong. But other than that, you know, New York Traffic won the Affirm Success. I didn't see Sunday's races. I saw some of them, but I didn't see Miss Jane McKay winning, but I've always liked her.
Yeah, she's nice.
I mean, I'm sorry to see Christophe win a stake, but I guess it has to happen eventually. I thought it was, you know, it was interesting. He won with that, and I'm being facetious because he's a friend. He won with that $40,000 yearling purchase over those two highly regarded and expensive Chad Brown boosters, you know, the Chadwell that cost me 1.6 and the Bobby Flay horse with a huge pedigree. I think they all ran very well, but I think it was an interesting example of how, you know, you can buy horses cheaply and,
sure,
and beat expensive horses. You know, this notion that you have to always be in, you know, at the higher end to be successful, not always true. And I was, you know, happy to see that win for the Chairman for Mark Holliday's Blue Devil Racing Stable. So that was cool too.
What is the, in addition to your videos, what is the coverage in terms of the Churchill races, Andy, through the end of the week?
I'm not there today and tomorrow, thankfully. But we're covering today, tomorrow, and Thursday, and then I think we're showing the first four races starting at 10:30 on Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
And then we're showing the rest of our coverage as well from New York. Until 6 or 6:30, I think we're doing a Derby preview. Greg and I, at least Greg and I, I'm sure others as well, on Friday at 6 to 6:30. I'm also starting to write some pieces for Fox on their digital platform.
Oh, very cool!
Going to be up soon. I'll have to figure out when that starts happening and get those links on Twitter.
It like on, is it Fox Sports or Fox Sports? Oh, excellent. Send me when that posts, send me a link, or I'll just retweet. I'll retweet when you, but I'll spread that around. That's cool.
All right.
Excellent. Oh, Andy, this was fun. This was fun.
Okay.
And I know you. And I know you also extend congratulations on the on Scherzando's nice showing on opening day.
Yeah, I finished first and third for around 1,000. So yeah, that was really great. But the really the best part about it was just as I took that brutal beat, I got a moronic text from you, and I understand. Other than you don't really understand it, there's people who bet on these races, so you feel saying silly things on in text right after races when it's possible that somebody took a horrible beat, and you might have noticed it had you actually looked at my picks. But hey, that was all good. The amazing thing was that I didn't respond to you as I wanted to.
I was aware.
I hope you didn't text a Tamaro, who needs a third horse who's in front of the 16th pole for like 40,000.
Well, I was rooting for our horse. I'm funny that way.
That's fine, but we weren't. We weren't unhappy that you did well, but maybe a couple of seconds to let it sink in before we could become glowing with joy over you finishing second and beating us.
The fact that I hadn't heard from you for days, I knew exactly why.
No, I just was kidding. No, believe me, I have, as you know, I have no problem with flying massively, too. I just was really busy. But now I'm glad you brought it up. You gave me a chance to air some of our dirty laundry on your show. It's a great team. I look forward to doing it again. I'll call you and insult you again later. See you later.
Andy Serling, everybody, with an all-time great visit. And it's been a very fun morning. Kevin Kirstein, Frank Angst, Marty McGee, Mike Welsh, Nick Tamaro, Gabby Gaudette, and Andy. Racing today, a little soggy over here in the Ville, but back at you tomorrow, 9 o'clock. If you missed anything, replay coming on the stream and pod, and et cetera, and archive. And we will talk to you tomorrow, Wednesday, from Churchill Downs. Thanks, everybody.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo STEVE200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at CountryLifeFarm.com.
Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd. PA Day of the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series. Yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield and EPO Equine can help you? Contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.